Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff, and of course, Deviant Legion. And we are here tonight to watch one of my standard Christmas movies that I watch every Christmas. I love this film, and it's Christmas Evil, otherwise known as You Better Watch Out. And I, as always, I'd like to introduce and thank my co-host, Miss Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel.
And there
Sorry,
she is.
Guys, I'm recovering from a Rip Van Winkle nap right now. So.
It happens. I can understand that. So what we're doing here tonight is a watch of one of my favorite films. Now, we were going to have John Killian on, and John contacted me and is unable to come in tonight. But we're going to dedicate this commentary watch to John because I know he loves this film. And so he can listen to us prattle on later. And, of course, you know, you can too if you're watching this after tonight. It's always on Blog Talk Radio and Deviant Legion, and all you have to do is check our playlist, and there it is. So this is a movie that was filmed and released in 1980, was shot in New Jersey, premiered in Pittsburgh, okay? And it's an interesting film. I'm not going to say too much about it. Rachel has never seen this, so she is the virgin tonight. And I can't think of anyone I'd rather have doing a commentary with me who has not watched the film than Rachel, because I think she's going to have some real good reactions to this. Rachel, do you want to know anything more about the film or have any thoughts before we start?
No, I'm flying blind today. We're good.
Okay, so this is on Shudder. It's also on Tubi with commercials, but on Shudder it does not have commercials. So we're using Shudder. I am now getting that ready to go. I have it set up right where you hit start, okay? Or play.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do. The 1980 movie Christmas Evil, also known as You Better Watch Out. That's what it was originally titled. And there are some famous people in here that have small roles, and let's see if you catch them. Okay, we are going to hit play from Shudder. I'm going to do the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then go, and we start on go.
Okay, and we're just on the play screen. We're not queued up.
Right, we're on the play screen. We're on the play screen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Mine's buffering slightly.
And sort of logging, and there we are. Christmas Eve,
1947.
Yep. Nice house, not too overly decorated.
Cute. There we go. Sorry, I didn't have Shudder until today. I had to figure out how to turn my subtitles on.
Okay.
My subtitles. I can't hear without my subtitles.
Does it have subtitles?
Yeah,
I see a CC
Shudder
there.
Does.
Yeah.
Wow, they gave him a whole fucking spread. How nice. I would not put milk in a metal decanter, though.
Okay. That might not be milk. You never know.
We poured it in the glass.
Yeah, he did.
It was milk or eggnog or something.
Well, that reminds me. I got eggnog today.
But not a fan.
I love eggnog. Especially with some bourbon.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to, but it just, it's one of those ones I can't really do.
Santa's doing a good job.
Yeah. Although the chroma scale's way off on this movie, the red is bleeding everywhere. Our dad's been dead for 15 years. Man, how can people just sleep with a wide open door like that?
Yeah, seriously. So this was a film that was originally, as I said, released in 1980. It basically died. And it's unfortunate. It was then released by Troma later, and that did much better. And when it was released on VHS, it really hit as a very unheralded and underseen film, and sort of became a real cult film. And yes, Santa's going to do what you expect him to do here. Just want you to know. Little cunnilingus in front of the kid.
So. He runs up to the attic to his sentimental snowball. Uh-oh. Oh, man. This went from 0 to 100 in, like, half a second.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes from believing in Santa to suddenly cutting himself. Like,
yep.
Whoa.
And this is under the original title. And this
so
was filmed in
they,
Paterson, New Jersey.
Why did they change the title? Do you know?
Because they thought that You Better Watch Out was much too generic, and it didn't sell under that title. So when it was released on VHS, they called it Christmas Evil, which is a better title. But actually, the original title works better for me in terms of the whole feel of the film. Because this is not a traditional slasher. This is not a traditional slasher at all. This isn't Silent Night, Deadly Night. Go ahead.
I just saw a name, Gerald Rubenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Any relation to Zelda, I wonder?
Doubtful. I don't know that for sure.
Oh, that's cool. I love how he's sleeping in a Santa suit.
So this is our star. This is Brandon Maggart. The only film he ever starred in. Now, he did some other roles and that. But he's
quite
best known as
being... Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so
it's 55
I think you can
days
already tell
Xmas,
this is not.
By the way.
Yeah.
So
not
like,
exactly.
He's doing this.
He's like, yeah, he's obsessed with Santa.
Oh, that's my favorite Santa, the woodland Santa right there.
Yeah.
That was on the left. That's my favorite kind.
So as I
really
said, this is Brandon
like...
Maggard. Go ahead.
Oh, I have loved the woodland Santas ever since I was a little kid. It was always more like the traditional Christmas stories. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that, though, but his calendar said 55 days until Christmas.
Right.
So this is like November.
Yeah. So he is best known, this is Brandon Maggard, as being the father to Fiona Apple.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, then he's already given his contribution to the world. It doesn't matter if this movie's good or bad. He nutted out Fiona Apple, so. You know my feels about Fiona.
Yes, I do.
He's kind of like my Tory.
Boys,
go ahead.
That's a sweet baby.
He abuses baby dolls.
Okay, alright, he's a little creepy.
Oh, good Lord. I knew he was going to have some books like that. Oh, man.
Even Ronquillo and I will bitch at each other and be like, you're being Moss Garcia. You better watch out.
Thought.
You better be good.
Oh, God, I'm being a moth for sure. Uses profane language, gets up late every day. Negative body image. Yeah, I'm all about that.
Nowadays, of course, this would all be on, he'd be using a computer, but I like that it said at this point that he has those books, and it makes...
Oh, I do, too. And that handwriting is absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
My grandmother, my Nona, she was a championship handwriter. She had awards for her handwriting.
Nice.
Yeah,
I write like a doctor. I've always printed.
Oh, I write like a serial killer. It's small print. Apparently, I can't stick with a letter case. But it's very legible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All of these little soldiers lining up, it reminds me so much of I was watching the Nutcracker yesterday and the toy soldiers dance where they're defending against the Rat King is just
right.
Awesome.
Well, so he works at this toy factory, and the toy factories, those are the kind of toys that I wish were still being made.
Like, he's really into this, dude.
Yeah. So later in his career, Brandon Maggard did lots of TV work. you know, with Who's the Boss and so on and so forth. But the films that he's best known for is, give me a second here, World According to Garp, Christmas Evil, Dressed to Kill, and The Magic Garden of Stanley Sweetheart. That really got his start.
Yeah, we're definitely going for a small Christmas this year. Well, large in other ways, but as far as, you know,
tons of stuff
under the tree.
We'll let you make that announcement later.
Oh, I will. But, yeah, I'm not going to have a ton of presents under the tree, but we did buy a giant, amazing, beautiful, touch.
So this was filmed at an actual toy factory. So one of the films that I sort of like attach this film to and compare it to is The Shining. Because you've got a character here in Harry, and you'll notice this here, what happens. I'll wait until this happens. So that was a coworker that asked him to cover. And he notices that the coworker is here in the bar. People take advantage of them, and so we're very quiet here, but I want to make a point of how Maggart is acting here. And you can start to see the strings go off as he becomes more and more unbalanced. And I think he does it so well in this film. So as I said, I put this in with another film that I see, and that is The Shining. And if you remember in The Shining, you know, Jack Nicholson from the beginning is absolutely nuts, and there's no gradation. But here, Maggart definitely, I think, really, really ratchets it up. And I think that the acting here is phenomenal. Now you're back with us, Rachel. You were, I guess, you were raptured.
Yes, indeed I was. But, you know, thankfully if it happens this early in the movie, it's less likely to happen again.
This is true.
So that's why I was being quiet, because I was saying that we just got an amazing Christmas tree. Like, this guy would love it. We're Christmas cheer up in this bitch. Oh, wait. No. I just mossed it again. Kid has, like, the horniest mom.
Well, that's actually his.
Nope. Yeah, that's his neighbors. I see that now.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, looks like him
yeah.
on top of the lady.
Mm-hmm. It's his brother.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You don't really catch that until later, but yes.
Okay.
Macy's Thanksgiving parade, so you know it's Thanksgiving now.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, that this was taking place in November because it was still 55 days till Christmas.
Yeah.
But, of course, now it's Thanksgiving, so obviously a few days have passed since then.
Underdog!
That's who that was. Duh. Please don't tell me he's about to beat it to Santa's balloons.
No.
That woman does look a lot like their mother, though.
Yeah.
Well, you did say this was psychological.
Yeah. Definitely psychological. I think you can tell already that this is not what you expect.
Quite. But I don't really know where it's going yet, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best things about this film is until it really hits like about the last third, you're not sure exactly where it's going. And that's why I like the original title, because if you push too hard certain people, you better watch out. They might snap.
Yeah, especially the sweet ones.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she's sitting here telling him how sweet he is and just leaving the fuck alone. And yeah, it's always the nice ones that are going to come for you. Because I'm
one
of those people.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been known to snap, and most people that made me snap aren't real happy about it.
Yeah, I have the legendary redhead temper. And you've seen, Carl, it takes an absolute act of God to get me to lose my cool. But when it happens, step back.
Well, I'll tell you what, you haven't seen me like that either. You don't want to because I hold it in and then you get yours later. I'm one of those.
Yeah. Now, if I get mad, it happens. I get explosively mad.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen me literally hopping mad. And I know what they mean by that because I am one of those people. I get really bouncy when I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, some of those floats and shit were so cool.
Oh, yeah. I never
grew up. You what?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying I never grew up watching the parades or anything, but occasionally we'd catch a few minutes of one, and I thought they were so cool.
Well, I can tell you this. I will never go down to Times Square either for the New Year's or for Thanksgiving parade. Not going to happen.
Oh, no. That's the northern version of trying to go to fucking the French Quarter during Mardi Gras.
Right.
Like, no, natives don't do that shit because we know that they cage you in. You don't. And the same thing with Times Square. You get caged in. Like, they put, you know, fencing and concertina wire around the perimeter of that part of the city. And once you're there, you're there. And, yeah, and it starts getting standing room only at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I will never, ever, ever put myself through some bullshit like that. Especially because if they're recording it, why the fuck would I want to be there? It's, like, cold and gross.
Nasty.
No.
Yeah.
And nasty.
And you have
That's
to pee
the
in the street,
thing.
Generally.
Yeah. With a bunch of other crazy drunk people.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just have to say, that is not how you make a fucking pair of pants.
I knew you were going to say something.
That is not how you cut anything. You lay it out flat, dude. Come on. I know you're the crazy man in this movie, but have some fucking sense. And I always hated those wrist ones. You know, it seems like a really good idea to have a pincushion on your wrist, but it's actually, like, really obtrusive. And it's not as natural of a flow to pull pins out of it. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that
so
music's not creepy at all.
So I did want to mention that some of that footage you just saw was done in New York City, and you saw the defunct FAO Schwartz, God bless its soul.
Well, if any of my kids' recent toys from FAO, which I don't buy them, but other people have, if the quality of their toys is like the shit that my kids got recently, they don't have to be defunct.
No, no. FAO Schwartz was a retail store that just did toys.
See, I know.
They weren't manufacturers.
What was that?
They weren't a manufacturer, so they didn't make toys or distribute. They were just like Toys R Us, right? But
yeah,
they were,
well,
you know,
they have toys.
Upscale.
They have FAO branded toys.
Oh,
and
okay.
My kids have recently, like the dinosaur stuffy that Roman loves so much.
Okay.
I've had to sew it up 6 times. She's had it for a few months, and it just gets holes in it constantly.
Okay, you were missing a good scene here.
No, I'm watching it.
Moss Garcia.
Moss Garcia. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, but I was talking to Steven. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go, Carl. I'm sorry.
Okay, so when I was talking to Steven today, I said, yeah, I'm not going to come on, but say hello to Moss Garcia for me.
Okay, now, I totally don't think that he's like a pedo or anything.
No.
But he is weirdly obsessed with Susie.
Moss Garcia.
How do you have negative body hygiene? What does he do? Like, go purposely rub dirt on top of his dirty body? Like, I don't know. Yeah, see, for me, like, I don't know why everybody's always like, Con! He never even says that in the movie. I don't see why Moss Garcia is not the the thing here, because, man, I know a lot of people who have seen this movie, of course, and don't know why any of them aren't going around going, Moss Garcia.
I've been doing it for years. I just haven't done it to you. That's generally me and Steven will do that to each other.
Well, I just picked it up too. That is my new profanity.
This is weird.
If you haven't noticed, all this moves a little weird, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real snapshot of somebody that's losing it. And the wonderful thing is he doesn't overplay it as an actor, right? You would think in terms of... Okay. Do you know who that is, the mother?
I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
That kid has the roundest everything I've ever seen. His face were a circle. His eyes were a big circle.
His nose is a button.
Oh, man, if I had ignored my mother for that long, I would have been halfway to fucking hell at this point. She would have faced me.
And I love your
and
mom,
he's just
too.
Walking on. Oh, yeah. My mom's great. But when my mom says we're going somewhere and we're in a hurry and you get in this car, ain't no way in hell I would have had enough time to creepy slow walk over to the bushes. Oh, like that's not obvious.
You know who the mom is?
No.
That's Patricia Richardson. She was the wife of what's his name? Hold on, give me a second. I should have had that up. I'm sorry.
Starting to rethink my wanting of a Nutcracker collection.
Home Improvement.
Oh,
she was the wife
in
Home Improvement.
I never would have guessed that.
There's somebody else that comes in later, which for a brief second, which I'll point out too. Now, I'm telling you, marionettes are fucking creepy, man.
Yes. Yes, they are. Okay. No, I'm glad they at least did that. His suit jacket fits him pretty well. He's not like a disheveled man.
No. Well, you know, I mean, there are people that can function, you know, who have some, this is creepy. This scene is really creepy to me. It's like the Commedia dell'arte faces for tragedy and comedy.
Yeah.
James Brown, man, on the soundtrack.
Oh, and a full bar. Damn.
Oh, yeah. This is 1980s.
Well,
I
know.
This was definitely full bar.
I remember, I remember the old school company Christmas parties. I never, like, got to imbibe with them because I was always the kid that they'd have to drag along. And, you know, you stay over here in the corner. Don't mess with the adults. Okay, I'll just read my book. So, I mean, so far he's just coming across as a really judgy dude. Like, what now? What did you say?
He is outside the norm, and everyone knows it. Okay, and you get to a point there where how do you deal with that? Because I certainly had to deal with it when I was younger.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so you put on one face, but internally you're totally pissed.
Ugh. Oh, his hair is so creepy.
Yeah.
Can we just put him in the bad boys list for that? Your hair scares small children? Yes. Oh, see, I heard State Hospital, and I was going to comment on that. Thinking that it
okay,
was,
go ahead.
I was thinking that it was not just a regular sick kids hospital, and I was correct. It's a quote state hospital. They exposed a bunch of those in the 1980s, and I think that's what that was referencing because that guy looked a lot like what the fuck, John Stossel. No,
yes.
It wasn't John Stossel that exposed him. It was, what's his name? Mustache dude. Other mustache dude.
I can't think, but I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. He exposed a bunch of those places in the late 80s and early 90s, I think. But they were, you know, abuse homes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna. Any other time,
but
I
Harry,
known.
The one thing about Harry, this film is he does have standards, and he does, you know, stand by those standards, probably in the worst way, but nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to see that he keeps his own standards. Because so far, he hasn't done anything bad.
No.
Ooh, are these going to be body bags now?
Maybe not.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Toys. Sorry, my.
So they're not going to really. They're going to take all that money and not give the toys to the kids, and so he's stealing all the toys so that he'll do it.
Yeah. Well, in those hospitals like that, it's not like those kids would actually get the toys anyway, but. Geraldo Rivera.
There you go.
That's the reporter.
Right.
Yes. So he's got this beard glued on. Is he trying to take it off? Or is
No. He's thinking he's turning into Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He's having a mental break here.
Yeah.
He does it so well. I swear to God,
yeah.
This is one of the best acting jobs of somebody who is losing himself in reality and becoming psychotic.
Yeah, you know, everybody said that Joker, that what, Joaquin Phoenix did? Was that who did it?
Heath Ledger.
Recently? No.
Well, yeah,
the
Joaquin Phoenix did it too, yes.
Everyone said that one was so good, and frankly, I was not impressed. But I'm really impressed with this guy right here. Like, I legitimately believe he's losing his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I legitimately believe he was crazy to begin with because he wakes up to Christmas music, but to each their own, you know?
Yeah.
I do like his outfit, though.
Yeah. And to be honest, there are so many Killer Santas movies and that sort of thing. And this one really sets itself apart. One thing is we're basically more than halfway through the film. Well, we're about halfway. And it's still building tension. You don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I have no idea what he's doing right now. I mean, obviously, like, he's delivering toys to the thing. Those two are broken. He is not happy about that.
No. And you think they feature the knife, and you think he's going to use the knife, and he's going to go crazy? No. Not yet, anyway.
Well, I was about to say, I'm sure he does at some point, but...
Oh, well, he will. I'm letting you know that, yeah, that happens. Here we are at Moss's house.
Oh, God, what did he do to Moss?
Oh, you noticed
now,
that
you
Okay, go ahead.
I feel bad for Moss right now, because you just saw his abusive-ass mom.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. God, that's kind of what our old veterans hospital out in Arkansas looked like.
I forget what that building is. I'd have to look. I think it's an old hospital or something like that, or I think it was converted to apartments.
Well, it definitely looks like it used to be a hospital.
Yeah.
If it wasn't still one while they were recording this, but...
Mm-hmm.
If only he could paint as well as he sews.
And So the point here is what's going to be the tipping point? What is going to happen to him where he goes over the edge and then totally goes over the edge? Because he's certainly dancing on the edge.
I mean, he's literally dancing right now. It's going to have to be something to do with children.
No.
Do I look like I'm joking? Hmm. I think he's going to get left out there and he's going to get pissed. Now he thinks he's making it snow.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up with some snowy weather here on Christmas. I mean, it's going to get, like, negative.
Well, I know here we're supposed to get it Thursday and Friday. But by Sunday, it's supposed to be clear. It's supposed to be cold.
Wow. That's hilarious. That they have the staff of a state hospital acting happy about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he could do good.
Yeah.
You know, what is the spirit of Christmas? Now, one of the things that I do like about this film is it sort of molds Christmas and Krampus together, and you'll get that too.
You know, I was going to mention earlier, like, we needed some fucking Krampus here.
Oh, that'll happen. Trust me.
Uh-oh.
Beautiful, beautiful. What? Beautiful, Carol.
Yeah. But frankly, I am not sad that I don't have to go to these really long-ass church services anymore.
Well, I miss them. I do. Of course, that was my thing, being an organist and church musician. And your mom gets it,
oh,
too.
Oh, exactly.
Of course.
And I understand that. It's just not my thing because, you know, I grew up with I grew up with so many different clashing religions in, you know, my childhood that I never really got into it because there was just too much of it. That's the one he made out of metal.
Yeah.
So who was that he just murdered? Was it
the guy? One of the guys that was taking over the toy factory.
Okay. We murdered three people, apparently. That was so hard to tell.
Definitely gone over the edge.
Yeah, I think he hopped across that line. So, I'm thinking he's going to use different toy weapons at every scene.
You're overthinking. That really is the only real violence in the film. There's one other thing that's coming up. But you know, the whole thing is he snapped, right? You hear this a lot with people that are shooters and violent people that kill people. They snapped. And
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing is, what led up to that? And we never seem to see that. And in this film, they show it. This is what makes this so much more psychological in its horror than, you know, horror itself. Compare this to any killer Santa. They come from an asylum and they just kill people. But you never know
mm-hmm.
what brought them into the asylum, what happened beforehand. Now, here we go. I'm going to mention somebody that comes here. No, not this scene. It'll be the next scene.
So, and just so you know, I am enjoying a holiday-appropriate snack for this movie. I have some gorgeous homemade peppermint bark that somebody sent home with Jeremy, so.
Oh, nice. That's always a good thing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, there he is. There he is. The guy on the left is Mark Margolies. Mark Margolies is a character actor best known playing Jimmy in The Equalizer in the 80s. He also did a lot with Darren Aronofsky. He was in the movie Pi.
Oh, okay.
Has...
You know, I don't know what happened to my copy of that movie.
That's Santa!
Hey, drunk people are the most festive.
You know, the whole thing...
That doll had an onk on its head.
So, you know, if you're, you know, how do you welcome Santa Claus? And do you, are you innocent and do you love this, the sense of being with family and friends and that, or are you cynical? And so the way here that you see is those that accept him, you know, he's kind and that, but, you know, those that don't accept the idea of Santa Claus, of
mm-hmm.
Kindness and that, he's very evil too. So you have this dichotomy where he's both Santa Claus and Krampus.
Yeah.
In one. And it's that split personality that comes out.
Yeah.
And again, I have to really applaud Brandon Maggard. I think he does so well with this role. And it's a shame he didn't have other roles. This was the only film we ever started. But as I said, he is the father of the piano apple, so hey.
Like
you're
I said,
with
his,
that.
Yeah, his fulfillment to the universe is done as far as I care. But this movie is great so far. Tie you to a brick and throw you in the Hudson.
Exactly. You know, okay, so Christmas traditions. I posted this on Facebook a couple days ago. But I want to see a movie about the giant cat in Iceland who the day after Christmas, if you're not wearing your Christmas clothes, he eats you.
Yeah,
I want to
see about
that
one.
Movie.
I want to see the one about the, what is it, like the horse skeleton, the Finnish horse skeleton, Mary Lind or whatever, that comes and rap battles with you. And if you run out of excuses of why he can't come in your house, he gets to come in your house and raid your food and drink all your beer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I mean, I've been hoping he was going to get the guy from The Office that was so rude to him and, like, made him take his shift.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, because people like that just kill me.
Piss you off?
Yes, they do. Not quite enough to hand cast a toy soldier murder device, but... Oh, look, they pushed the beds together tonight.
Wow! Another, well, no, I'm not going to say it yet. I'll say that at the end. Okay, I'll say that at the end. I'm not going to give away the ending.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm still new to this one, so don't give it away for me.
But now that you're about three quarters through the movie, okay, you compare this to other Crazy Santa films. Is this not like the best one you've ever seen so far?
So far, yeah. I'm really liking this one. Well, like you said, it's not a typical slasher. It's not even a slasher as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know he murdered a guy with a toy bayonet and a hatchet, but... And why do people always think they can go down chimneys? Well, I guess he's... thinks he's Santa Claus, but okay. How's this going to work? And when is he going to grab his bag? So he doesn't
fit. Can't do it.
He gets stuck in the chimney. What the hell? And how is that suit coming out clean?
Well, there's a little bit of crap on it, I think. I see that the bottom part is dirty.
No, that's just because he has that, like, grayish fur.
Okay.
Yeah, the fur is kind of a mottled fur, so I was looking at that, but no, he came out squeaky clean.
Okay.
Although his hands were dirty before he got in the chimney. I noticed that. Okay, there we go. He's got some soot on the back part there.
Okay. Yeah, and I see a little soot. Yeah, okay, gotcha. So he's a little dirty. Well, you gotta applaud the film for realism.
Right. There we go. But seriously, whoever leaves those, like, underground windows unlocked like that? What?
So, How old were you when you realized that Santa wasn't real? Was there like a...
I think
a,
I always
a,
kind
a
of knew. I always kind of knew because I remember not being surprised at all. But my mother, we grew up and, you know, when I grew up, she always told me about the spirit of Christmas, that, you know, Santa Claus was the spirit of Christmas. Because I asked those questions when I was like 3 years old. Really? You tell me this guy's like 500 years old? No, that doesn't work for me. What is he really? You know, so I was always a realist about it. And I remember, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I do remember walking out at one point and catching my mom and her ex-husband now wrapping the presents. And they saw me. I didn't say anything. I just went back to bed. We never mentioned it again. I still, to this day, get presents from Santa Claus.
Well, you actually the family got a surprise present from Santa Claus that were basically had a lot of appeal.
Yes. People are very excited about those chocolate oranges. Oh, yeah, and that was the other thing was, you know, I was pretty much always told that, like, if you see Santa doing his thing, you fucked up.
Yeah. We never did a lot with Santa. I mean, we had presents from Santa, but I remember being very young and not able to do, you know, wrap presents and ask my mom to wrap them, and she come to one that's her. Oh, I'm not looking. I'm not looking. I don't know what this is, you know.
Yeah.
But we never did much with Santa. You know, it was later that really where we went was St. Nicholas and the patron saint of children.
Yeah, and I always did the what my mom told me. She always told me the stories of St. Nicholas and the spirit of Christmas, which is actually why Klaus was so moving to me. You know, in the end, when he finally disappears into the woods, you know, he's died. You can see his essence, you know, come out of him and still permeate the atmosphere. So that made so much just beautiful sense to me. I love that.
So he's killing he killed mm-hmm. the boss. Okay, just so everyone
knows.
He's
not dead yet. There we go.
He will be talking. Nice.
How did she sleep through all of that? Well, I don't know. I've slept through tornadoes. Aww.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, we already know that he murders Santa. I mean, they've got a clear description of him from the people at the church, so.
Right, and they have the van, too. Don't forget they have the van.
Oh, I know. That's what I was saying, is, like, there's a clear description of everything, because it's not exactly like he's been very subtle.
No. There's your nutcracker.
I know.
So just so everyone knows that Rachel watched the nutcracker today, it was, right? Or yesterday?
No, it was yesterday. I watched the 93, who did I say it was, Carl? It's like George Balanchine, maybe?
Balanchine. It was George Balanchine,
yeah.
Directed.
And it was fucking amazing. I will be doing this next year for the holiday season because that is one of the most flawless performances of a ballet I've ever seen in my life. Plus, it's not entirely ballet because they do have a narrator and occasional film edits between major scenes.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, just so everyone knows that we also did a ballet for Halloween. And we did Guy Madden's Dracula, Pages from a Burden's Diary, which was the Winnipeg Ballet. And that was really something, too. That was one I introduced to you, right? You had never seen that.
Yes. Yes. I had not seen that one before, and I did really like that one. I know I made some fun of it, but I do that with everything. And see, I'm not the only crazy person who does this. I buy new candy canes every year to put on my tree. And, you know, throughout the season, we eat the candy canes off the tree.
You don't understand.
Why does everybody have that creepy, balding, almost perm-looking hair?
It was the 80s.
I know, it's just awful. Well, that was
That's Parade of the Wooden Soldiers. Great film from the 30s. Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, nice. I was wondering what that one was, so thank you for being on my brainwave already. Okay, see, now he looks really dirty.
By the way, the soundtrack has been really good. It's creepy.
I mentioned that earlier. I was like, man, that was some creepy. Yeah. It's been very, single note, kind of plunky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're making crappy toys, and now he's mad.
Yeah.
They look like shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I miss my old gumball machine.
No, I liked those when I was a kid.
Yeah, I had one at my daddy-o's house.
This is actually a fun scene. Best scene in the whole movie. Funniest scene in the whole movie by far.
I love Black Santa over there with the big bushy eyebrows.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we had stuff like Krampus.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I actually got coal in my stocking one Christmas. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, my mom and I have always had jokes like that where we find, like, joke coal to put in each other's stockings. It's usually, like, some sort of candy or, you know, bubble gum or something
right.
like that. And as we're, you know, adults now, I can refine it a little more, and I'll get her like a charcoal soap or something.
I can play the tune.
Yeah. Damn, that was cryptic as hell.
Yeah. This can't. I have to.
I mean,
read,
I get what
you know,
saying.
And his brother is really good at, and this actor is really good too.
Yeah, they both are. Like, so far, everybody in this has been pretty gay.
Yeah. Now, Louis Jackson, I want to talk about the director. Because, again, this is the only thing he's basically known for.
Yeah.
Let me do it this way. By the way, that's Jeffrey DeMunn as his brother.
Yeah.
Now, Louis Jackson basically only did three films. He did this. He did a film called The Transformation, and he did The Deviants. This is, and then once he did this film, it wasn't well received, and he quit the business. But man, he should have done.
Christ, look at all those blow molds.
Yeah.
I want those old blow molds candles.
Yeah.
I want to find a few of those and put them up my driveway next year for Christmas.
Right.
Like, I got plans next year. Santa's going to love my place. You know, because I have...
And, of course, I can attest that you do really well, because I saw you do your decorations for Halloween, and you guys went full tilt on that.
Oh, yeah, and you didn't even see the final pictures, I don't think, when we finally had everything out.
No, you sent me pictures when everything was up. I was gone. I mean, I was back to New York by that time. But
well, we were still adding stuff up to a few days before Halloween, but, yeah.
Right.
Our house for Christmas this year isn't as all out, because I lost a lot of my Christmas decorations. In a very tragic move I had to make. So I'm still really sore about that subject, but I think that with our tree this year, that's enough for me to be happy with. But we have more. We have our stockings and all of that up. But it's just not like I usually do for the kids. But that is because I have a very big Christmas surprise to announce to them. So... Aw, he's being sweet to them because they're sweet little kids.
Right. And, you know, this is the dichotomy here. You know, the thing about Harry is he is a kid.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey, As I said, this is not your regular Killer Santa.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
This is a hell of a scene.
Yeah, this is intense. Stabbed him with her Christmas pin.
This is like Frankenstein now. Chasing the creature.
I know, I was thinking that. It's a pretty interesting one there.
And Lewis Jackson talks about the ending to this and how he was a kid, and he felt so sorry for the creature.
Yeah. Well, he's behind a liquor store right now. If you looked at all the boxes, they were different liquor boxes. There was some Gordon gin and some Seagram's VO and stuff. So it's kind of telling you, like, the area that he's in. I've noticed that with the – I mean, I know this isn't, like, set, but – I've noticed that with the backdrops of the places he's in. Rabble, rabble, rabble. Rabble, 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 rabble. Rabble, rabble.
Well directed, too.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said, this was the last film he ever directed. Never directed a film after this. Of course, this was done on a very low budget.
I can tell.
But that's nothing against the film.
No, not at all. I want to see him all slip on that ice.
And now he's lost his beard.
Oh, he's got it back. So he finally got away from him. That van's not entirely discreet. I knew it was you.
Oh, my God. I knew it was you.
Yeah. Mom was rejected by children.
Please just get them up.
Lord. Well, I mean, I expected he was going to die somehow and that his brother was probably going to be the one to do it. But I was hoping main brother got his comeuppance a little bit. I mean, he very obviously had a malaffected brother that he should have done more about.
Yeah. You think his kid's not going to be affected by this? And that's the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
Abuse? All of this is transfer.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a film.
Oh, yeah.
This is... Now, a couple years ago, we did this with Vicky. And Vicky was, like, totally blown away by this film.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty surprised by it. It is not at all what I thought it would be like. I don't know what I really expected because, you know, I told you I was coming in completely blind on this one. I knew nothing about this film except for the name. Yeah. I've been thinking he needs to get punched in the head. I mean, obviously Harry needs to stop killing people, but his brother's kind of an asshole.
Exactly.
And apparently has been since he was 6 years old, so stay in here.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I told you at the end of this movie, I was gonna ask you a question.
Okay. That's beautiful.
Is he Santa? Is he Art Carney? Is he from Night of the Meek or not?
No, he's not Santa.
Okay, so you're on the other side.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. No, like, it just finally showed his last hallucination. You know, a lot of people hallucinate in their dying moment.
Right.
So I'm kind of assuming that, you know, he hit that bridge and
died. And
yeah,
in this dying moment,
yeah.
He thinks he's Santa Claus. See, Stephen
well,
and I
was Santa Claus anyway. He never stopped thinking he was Santa Claus.
Right.
So, yeah, it would make sense that that would be what he sees in his dying moments is that, you know, he's flying off into the sky when really he's sinking down into black, inky water. But yeah, I'm really actually surprised by that one. And surprisingly, for being a Christmas horror movie where a bunch of fucking people get murdered, not a lot of blood.
No, none. Very little. Very little. Very little. And again, it shows that you don't have to go, you know, full, you know, gore and disgusting. Now that's, you know, that's fine if you want to go that way. And there's a wonderful movie on Shudder that Stephen and I did for his network called Christmas Bloody Christmas, which I recommend highly because it is just blast. It's so much fun.
Is that the new one that came out?
Yes, that's the new one that came out.
I want to see that so bad. Now, you said it's on what?
Shudder.
Oh, nice. Well, since I have the Shudder hookup now, I might watch that tonight. Yay, me.
And you talk to me. But this one is different. There isn't another movie, Christmas horror movie, that even comes close to this film.
No. And you know how I feel about a lot of, I'm not a big slasher fan.
No.
Definitely not a Christmas movie fan. And I really liked that.
And again, I think what you really have to do is you have to really give some props to Brandon Maggart, because I think he does an absolutely killer job in this
film. Yeah. We never figured out what he gave to Moss.
Yeah, remember he was digging up dirt?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's giving him a big bag of dirt.
Now, from now on in, if I'm a real asshole, you could just call me Boss Garcia, and I'll understand.
Yeah. Or I can just mail you a big bag of dirt.
There you go. This one, you must understand why I want to watch this every Christmas. Because it's so unique.
It really is. No, it's a good one. And I just have to announce something that's coming out on Christmas that I will be watching. Like, Rhee and I are so stoked about this because, of course, they've been listening to all of the teasers. But on Netflix, Matilda the Musical, coming out on Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And I will take my kids' judgment on this because they love the original Matilda, and they were really leery about this. They were like, I think they're turning it into a musical, Mom, and I don't know how I feel about that. And I was like, I don't either, but let's wait and see. And so, yeah, I'm going to be excited to see that on Christmas with the kids because I love Matilda. That is from back in my day. The book, the movie, all of it. Mara Wilson, you fucking rock supreme. There we go.
Absolutely. And again, shout out to the Christmas, Bloody Christmas, too. If you, the nice thing about that film is the first 20-30 minutes as you get to know the characters, they're basically going through all this pop culture stuff, like what's the best Christmas horror movie, what's the best Christmas song. It's wonderful. It's a lot of fun. And of course, there's the movie coming out with David Harbour, Violent Christmas, too, which looks like Die Hard with Santa as John McClane. That looks like fun, too.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited about this. Like, I'm excited that they're finally taking a different avenue with Christmas movies. Now, shout out to Sam Irvin, Hallmark Channel's literal king of Christmas. He has put out a few new movies recently, and he has been recording a few. Yes, they are Christmas flicks, and they are wonderful, but it's still not my major genre. So I'm excited that they're coming out with more stuff like this. But, you know, obviously this is from 1980, so it's been a while since people have been on that boat.
Well, you know, to me, you know, to me, this is the perfect 70s Christmas movie where it's real cynical. and that sort of thing. And of course, it's 1980, but I adhere to the Stephen Ronquillo thing, that anything that was filmed in 79 and released in 80 is a 70s movie, and vice versa. If it's, you know, 89 and 90, then it's an 80. You know.
I agree with you there. And I actually think the same thing with albums a lot of times.
Right. Right. I agree with that too. You know, but this one is special. This one is really special. And the people that haven't seen this or are listening to the commentary and haven't watched the movie yet, all I can tell you is you need to watch it before you listen to this commentary and really, like, let it sink in.
Because it's kind of hard to describe exactly, like, how little blood and gore is in this movie. If you're just listening to the commentary and you're like, oh, well, he just stabbed that dude in the eyeball with a hand cast toy soldier bayonet. Yep. He axed two different people in the head. So yeah, like it's, but you don't really see a lot of blood at all.
No.
And the only reason I cannot adhere to the he was Santa Claus is, okay, so yeah, his beard and stuff stayed on the whole time, and that's fucking amazing, because if you've ever had to put fake facial hair on, you know that shit comes off at the drop of, well, anything. But we see at the end of the movie where his hat and wig fall off. He puts them back on right before the end, but when he's rolling down the hill, his hat and the wig fall off. So that's why I can't believe that he was Santa Claus flying off into the moonlight. I think he was dead in the water.
Well, I agree with you, but I think his spirit went on to be Santa Claus. I do. You know, and again, remember I said there was equal parts Santa Claus and Krampus in it, too. And
well,
keep
exactly.
that in mind, too. I can't say anything more about the film. I think we're just going to leave it at that. What I will tell people very, very briefly, we are going to have a Christmas anti-music mix, and that's going to be on Thursday, and you and I have to get that together rather quickly. But we're going to do that on Thursday. And that's what we have. I can also tell you that on Sunday, Christmas night, TC is going to also have Christmas music for you. So at least you can get in the mood. Ours is going to be more a couple days before Christmas while you're still freaking out and you're still, you know, like, fuck Christmas. We'll have a lot of that too. Trust me. So there you go.
Our anti-Christmas music special is going to be full of the funny and fuck all of Christmas. So it's going to be perfect for this time here on Thursday when you really need a chuckle and somebody else to say, you know, fuck Merry Christmas. There you go. So I've been really excited about that one. I have actually been introduced to some new anti-Christmas music through my husband. So I'm very excited to show you guys.
Okay, and that'll be Thursday. And folks, all we want to say is, have a Merry Christmas. And also, we're going to do a watch probably after Christmas of the Hebrew Hammer. And that's for our Jewish friends in honor of Hanukkah. So we are going to do that before the new year for sure. Go ahead.
I was actually going to suggest something, since we're doing our housekeeping here. I have a very special Christmas surprise for my family. As all of you know, I just recently got married a few months ago. Congratulations. Yay me. I'm a Mrs. now officially.
Rachel and Jeremy,
yay! Well, and we, out of the blue, decided to apply for and then found and bought a house. So I'm actually going to be spending my new year moving into my forever home, and that is my big surprise for my children. They're both finally getting their own bedrooms. It's going to be so amazing. And I'm thinking that we need to have a housewarming by maybe doing a commentary on the movie. Guess what, Carl?
House. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If we do that, I got to get Mike on. Mike.
Well, I was hoping he'd come on. I was hoping you would say that. That can be like my, you know, New Year's motivational present to get moved in as quickly as possible. Because, yes, I've got a closing date of the 17th of January. So it is happening quick. I meant to discuss that with you earlier, Carl, but there we go. I think we need a commentary watch on that next year, of course.
Absolutely.
But we're pretty full
Absolutely.
Up until then, so.
And again, we want to dedicate this particular film and commentary to John Killian, who could not be with us tonight. John, we'll have you back, no question. And we'll do other films with you, and we'll have other conversations. But enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your paranormal investigations, man. That's what he does on XD Planus. And we do recommend everyone to follow him on XD Planus. Because he's really good at what he does.
Yes, his whole group is, and we support the hell out of those guys. So they're out getting their pants scared off at somewhere. I'm not even sure where tonight. So
Natchez. They're in Natchez.
Well, yeah, but I don't know where in Natchez. Like, I don't know what place, if they're in the woods or if they're at a house
I don't know either. But that's where he grew up, by the way. That's where his family is, and that's where he grew up. So he's visiting family right now. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and he just did something in Arkansas again, too. Like, earlier this week, he was in Arkansas at one of the houses. We have a lot of haunted plantations and shit out here. Oh, but I think it was the schoolhouse that he went to out here.
So follow him on XD Planet. And what we're going to do is we're going to see y'all off and wish you a wonderful holiday season to each and every one of you. And we'll see you on Thursday for our anti-Christmas music extravaganza. So tonight, thank you very much for this special commentary watch on You Better Watch Out, otherwise known as Christmas Evil. As always, Rachel, thank you so much for being with us.
It was
and being
my
co-host and
my pleasure, guys.
And at this point, we're going to say good night.
Good
so
night.
Say good night.
Merry Christmas. Don't let the
Merry
bugs
Christmas.
Bite. Bye.